Davy Crockett told him back east, "You may all go to hell, and I will go to Texas." Here's a guy that thinks Davy got it right. It's Pratt on Texas with Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas on Cinco de Mayo. Don't forget, if you missed part of the show, you can pick it up all at prattontexas.com as a podcast. Our Lone Star story of the day, well, Texas continues to lead the nation in population growth, and yet Texas Democrats and many businesses that have come here despise the policies and culture that have Americans voting with their feet. They want to turn us into the places that people are leaving. Much from the legislature, and I mean a lot there. The House is hearing stuff, the Senate today on the floor. We've just got a lot to cover. Texas sues Biden administration. This time it's a very good reason, a very good technical reason. Also, my friends, there was a good federal court ruling on CDC, Centers for Disease Control, overreach. And again, it is Cinco de Mayo. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. I want to say congratulations to Emily Orozco Cruzan of Abilene. She's president of Clinical and Forensic Counseling, Inc. She's been appointed by the governor to the Council, Texas Council on Sex Offender Treatment, serious subject that needs serious attention. All right, my friends, I want to talk about Cinco de Mayo. I always like to talk about Cinco de Mayo, but I've got all these other stories to lead with. We'll try to get in our full Cinco de Mayo, what it really is about, because the ignorance is amazing, and it really wasn't talked about much until the beer companies figured out it was a big way to sell a bunch more beer. We'll get to that later in the show. I want to talk about this Census Bureau report that's out yesterday and relate it to a lot of other things going on in the Lone Star State. The story was that Texas leads the U.S. again in raw population growth. They released these estimates yesterday. Census Bureau says the Lone Star State had 373,965 more residents in 2020 than in 2019. Now, that's quite a bit more population than the city in which I live. In other words, it's as if you just created a whole new city overnight and in 1 year, 2019 to 2020. We had a bigger increase in raw numbers than any other state. We were followed by Florida, Arizona, North Carolina, and Georgia. The spike, which was the largest for Texas since 2017, they think pushed the population to 29.36 million in the state of Texas. It's 1.29% rise. And then in percentage terms, that's is trailed by Idaho, which is small, but so you get much movement there, you get a bigger percentage. Arizona, Nevada, and Utah. So there you go, the top 10 states. We led both in raw numbers and percentage. And then Florida was behind us in raw numbers with about 241,000 more folks. Arizona with about 130,000 more folks. North Carolina was slightly under 100,000. Then Georgia with 82,000 new folks. Washington State comes in there next at about 80,000 more people. South Carolina, 60,000. Tennessee, 56,500. Colorado, 49,000, and Nevada, 47,000. So here's the question. If for the last 23 or so years, 24, 25, I've forgotten now, Texas has been the number one job creator through multiple recessions, some very serious recessions, boom and bust in the energy sector over and over, and yet all those years, Texas continues to produce more jobs, and more people continue to move to Texas outside of just the idea of getting a job. People retiring here, corporations relocating here. Why are so many of these corporate people and so many of these folks that on the Democrat side in Texas so absolutely ashamed of Texas? You know, they always write all these stories about being ashamed of Texas when you read the Democrats. When the whole country, which, by the way, is still suffering from a decline in birth rate, when the entire country picks up by massive numbers now for over two decades and continues to come to Texas, why do they so despise the policies that are so successful here? Well, there are a lot of reasons. Some of them, they don't even think about this stuff. They want to turn Texas into New York or California, where people are fleeing from, or Illinois. But they still stand for this stuff. And you remember rapper 50 Cent? 50 Cent, for those of you in certain areas. 50 Cent, you know, he got mad as heck over Biden's tax policy. I can't remember the quote. Was something like 50 Cent will become 25 Cent or something like that. He's the big news today. Rapper 50 Cent, Curtis Jackson, has left New York, now calls Houston home. He hadn't said exactly why. He hadn't released many details. Now, he is about to start doing a new television series there, but he announced the news with photos of himself donning a Houston Astros hat in front of the Astrodome, which, of course, they don't even play there now. But he's touting his new project for television, Confessions of a Crime Queen. It's a true crime anthology series. But he's come here. Now, this is just, he hadn't said exactly if it's permanent, but look, how many folks making a ton of money have left New York and are leaving California? Lots of people, both prominent and folks you've never heard of. They're coming here because of a lower tax policy and less regulatory policy. For you greeny weenies and people all interested in saving the planet, what arrogance that is. But anyway, I've got more on that for you in a moment. So the liberals want all their liberal stuff, and then they reject Texas and its political policies. And, you know, that they're all political, the economic policies, and they reject our culture. They want to change the meaning of the Alamo and everything else. You got Elon Musk, left California, has come to Texas, living here now, got the new Tesla factory for, you know, all the SpaceX stuff, massive, in Brownsville and all that, leading you to an economic boom in the Rio Grande Valley, the lower valley. But there was a big piece at the College Fix how the new Tesla factory will create hundreds of jobs, and one outside of Austin that don't require college degrees. They're big on that. You can work full work for Tesla straight out of high school, they said, and they're recruiting people. Musk says over 10,000 people are needed for the Giga Texas just through 2022. They got 300 jobs they're trying to hire for in Austin right now. Oh, come on, the land of opportunity. Now, for you liberals, Enel is a big, big company. I think, are they from Spain or Italy? Italian. Renewable energy. They're not renewable energy. I don't want to go down that, but it's not renewable. It's just more energy conversion, like all energy electric production is. They said today, according to the Houston Chronicle, that they're going to build their largest solar farm in North America southeast of Waco. Another solar project in Grimes County, northwest of Houston, and a wind project near Abilene. Now, I want you, just give you the quick on that. The third project, that one near Abilene's in Callahan and Eastland counties. It will generate 263 megawatts with wind turbines with a storage system for 87 megawatts. They're going into the big battery system stuff big time. And the one near Houston will be a solar farm. And the largest solar farm in the country is in Falls County near Waco, and it'll have battery storage up to 59 megawatts. I want you to listen to what these globalist renewable energy people say. Enel, one of the largest renewable energy companies in the world, made its initial U.S. investments in the Midwest about 15 years ago, but has targeted Texas since 2018. Texas has been, and we think it will definitely continue to be, one of the most business-friendly states, their leader said. It's one of the states where we can develop very quickly new power plants, in a state where energy markets are open to receiving investments like the ones we currently have underway. Part of Texas' appeal, he said, is the relative ease of permitting energy projects. That helps get projects online faster than other places in the U.S. So see, even you liberals, the Republican model brings the things you want at a much faster and more efficient pace, and yet you continue to despise Texas. We'll be back in a moment and talk more on this subject on Pratt on Texas.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break. Pratt's back in a moment.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
And now, a man who finds skulking youth in pullover hoodies far more menacing than citizens with pistols properly holstered in the open. It's firearm-friendly Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back. By the way, while we're talking about energy and business, Pioneer Natural Resources, the big Permian shale driller, said they lost. They took an $80 million hit from the winter storm. Plains All American Pipeline posted a $422 million profit. And oil prices have risen because the stockpiles are going down, so much for the death of oil. So we lead the census again in population growth. We've been leading jobs for 20-something years. We continue to be at the top of the heap on people voting with their feet here. And yet we're surrounded by Democrats, and that includes the media, that generally despises the pro-family, pro-business, limited government model in Texas. And yet you got this guy, one of the largest green power people in the world, saying, look, part of our appeal is the relative ease of permitting energy projects in Texas. Now, folks, that's Republican conservative political policy. And it's just a perfect example. The Democrats, what did they do after the ERCOT stuff and everything? They want more regulation. And that means tougher to permit things, harder to get it going, put more barriers in the place of business. Is that how you get Tesla factories and being able to provide very good, well-paying jobs for people right out of high school? Yeah, I'm not even sure Democrats are for that anymore because they've teamed up with the Academy as an indoctrination center and they want everybody, you know, to waste a bunch of time in these schools being indoctrinated with leftism. Well, I'll give you an example of that. An odd example, sort of switching gears, but it relates. They're having debates on the House floor today, and Representative Harold Dutton says that he's up there trying to make an argument on an amendment he had made, and he says he's a Catholic and he doesn't like abortion, but, you know, a woman ought to be able to do what she wants to with her body. The problem is the child's not her body. It's unique DNA, you science deniers. But do you know what the argument he just made was? Being pro-life versus being pro-birth. That all you pro-lifers, you don't care about people. You just care about that somebody's born. If you're really about people, you got to be pro-life means you got to take care of them from cradle to grave. I kid you not. Pro-life people are just pro-birth. They don't care about the person after then, which, of course, is stupid. It's absolutely ridiculous. He went on to make an argument, and then a bunch of Democrats stood up there, a bunch of women got up there and made the same arguments that basically, and that was his bill, if these people are not going to be aborted, then we've got to provide them health care for life, we've got to provide them a free college education, and on and on and on. This is the absolute stupidity, or maybe there's a much better word for it, the just ridiculousness, the absurdity of the left. Well, if you're pro people being born, then you must be, you're really anti-people unless you support a socialist welfare state. And again, these people are sitting down there in a state that has led the union for years in population influx, people voting with their feet to come here. And they don't just come here for a job. There's cultural and political components to that. There always is. A state that continues to create more jobs, and their attitude is, you're not really pro-life unless you favor a welfare state. Excuse me, Democrats, including you, Harold Dutton, you hypocritical Roman Catholic. What in the world about your policies are different than those of New York State, California, and Illinois, and other states people are leaving? You want to adopt the exact same policies. Basically, either you all are so stupid, so abjectly dumb that you cannot see the links, like this head of the big giant green energy company saying, look, it's an easier state to do business in. Less hurdles to jump through to get a project going. Are you so abjectly stupid you cannot understand that it's our policies, the opposite of your social welfare policies, our pro-business policies that make Texas successful? You know, there's a reason we lead in all this, and it's not because we've given some subsidies. I don't like it, but nothing compared to these liberal states for green energy, and yet we've led in it. Why? Because we have an open market. And you all distrust that. After the big deep freeze, you're trying to call for an end to that. The things these people will say, pro-lifers don't really care about the people. They're just pro-birth. And once then, they don't care about the person. We've got to provide lifelong health care and free college and all the other free stuff to anybody, or else you're not pro-human being. Now, wait a minute. Not doing that big of a welfare state's what's leading people to choose to come here. But of course, I guess when you're an indoctrinated Marxist ideologue, you can't accept that. And in the case of these people, they're not indoctrinated anything. They're just dumb. Just absolutely dumb. And another dumb thing that happened at the federal government level under the Trump administration, but over there at the left-wing Centers for Disease Control, remember when the CDC, a bunch of so-called doctors and scientists, Faucis, put in place a moratorium on evictions? What law allowed them to do that across the country? It's not the federal government's business anyway, but certainly the CDC doesn't have that authority. Well, sure enough, U.S. District Judge today, Dabney Friedrich, said the CDC did not have the authority to issue a broad moratorium on evictions across all rental properties. The question for the court is a narrow one. Does the Public Health Service Act grant the CDC the legal authority to impose a nationwide eviction moratorium? It does not, the judge wrote in a 20-page opinion, adding the CDC order must be set aside. Isn't it a shame it takes so long to get these things done? The amount of people who bought homes and stuff and rent them and barely make a margin over the mortgage and tax and repair margins on those properties have been ruined. People have been ruined. And then here was a good one. Texas sued the Biden administration again. Attorney General Paxton did, and it's an excellent one because the Fed's American Rescue Plan Act, it gives people money, but one provision, a tax mandate, specifically demands that Texas not use the funds received through the act to, quote, directly or indirectly offset tax revenue reduction caused by changes in tax policy. Now, money is fungible. So saying directly or indirectly basically means you're in violation of the act unless you simply increase government spending permanently. And the attorney general said this is yet another attempt by the feds to unlawfully exert control over how sovereign states operate. While hiding behind a deceptively friendly name, the act effectively removes Texas' ability to lower taxes while granting Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, power to take back federal aid funds if they disagree with the state's adopted tax policies. For Texas, which successfully operates on a low tax model and continually finds ways to reduce tax burdens on citizens, the tax mandate's particularly intrusive, said Paxton. By design, Congress lacks the power to assert control over states and cannot coerce a state into adopting a policy. Oh, they've been doing it forever. Remember the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit? The tax mandate, which does precisely that, blatantly violates the Constitution and cannot stand. Well, we'll see if you can get the federal courts to go along, but he's absolutely right when it comes to the overall issue there. Switching to the legislature, there was a big piece by Chuck Lindell at the Austin American-Statesman titled, Sid Miller Urges Judge to Void Texas Senate's Required COVID-19 Test. I agree. So they filed suit to get rid of this, and of course the state's has to stand for the Senate, and they're saying, well, the test is not an invasive thing, and they don't keep the records, and blah, blah, blah. These testing companies themselves and the scientists around the world have admitted how absolutely faulty these tests are, and these tests for the public going in and participating in open government in the Senate are just simply, just utterly absurd. They're ridiculous. It's bad. So I'm glad somebody's standing up. Don't expect it to go too far, though, sadly. Oh, well. And, of course, we still got the big companies piling on more on voting integrity laws. We'll get to some of that. And the Senate passed another emergency powers reform bill by our good friend Senator Betancourt, and clarifies the definition of disaster to exclude an epidemic or spread of communicable disease. It shouldn't be an issue because we already have a body of law covering communicable disease.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Laugh if you must, but friends know that I had a hard time finding words to express how positive my experience was going to the dentist. Not just any dentist, but Dr. Sylvia Suniga of Dental Care. Money matters too, and it cost us less than half of my lowest quote at home to visit Dr. Suniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica. That included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and a private driver, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. In fact, I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years. The work was the best I've ever had, the attention to detail more than you'll get here. If you have expensive dental challenges or just need crowns or cosmetic work or implants, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Suniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
From the statehouse to the courthouse, they know Pratt's watching. Here he comes with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. By the way, they're hearing the fetal heartbeat bill in the House today, and the Democrats are doing everything they can to slow this thing down with their typical BS anti-human life talking points. GOP lawmakers want to ban woke philosophies like critical race theory in Texas schools. There have been a ton of stories on this subject in the last week or two. The liberal Texas Tribune's Duncan Agnew had a story out saying two bills moving through the ledge would bar the teaching of critical race theory, an academic. I love how the liberals describe these things in the most glowing terms when all they are is just pure out race war stuff. An academic discipline that views race as a social construct that examines how racism has shaped legal and social systems. Texans reject critical race theory and other so-called woke philosophies that maintain that one race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex, or that any individual, by virtue of his or her race or sex, is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, said Lieutenant Governor Patrick last week. These divisive concepts have been inserted into curriculums around the state, but have no place in Texas schools. But educators and social justice experts, all this, see how they give the expert tag to left-wing activists? Because that's all social justice is. It's a part of the big lefty socialist communist movement around the world. Educators and social justice experts see the efforts as an attack on the state's civics education curriculum at a time when students should be learning more, not less, about civics, social justice, and history. No, Republicans believe they ought to be learning more about real civics and the way our country is supposed to work. You guys want to invent a bunch of propaganda history, and social justice is nothing but that. Senate passed SB 2202 by Creighton. It bans the teaching that one race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex. Isn't it amazing Republicans are having to insert this stuff in the law? This used to be the bedrock of civil rights ideas. But it's not amazing. The Democrats were the party of segregation. Let's see. Also says an individual by virtue of his or her race or sex is inherently racist or, oh, you can't say also an individual by virtue of his race or sex, in other words, white privilege or whatever, is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously. Good. Shame we have to put that in there. You got other ones. The House is going to consider a Steve Tulsa bill and some others. One of the interesting parts of this was that they think they're saying something really good here because they live in their liberal world. Listen to this paragraph in the Tribune. Beyond discouraging teachers from discussing current events and critical race theory, it does no such thing. SB 2202 and HB, it discourages them from indoctrinating students with their political viewpoint. SB 2202 and HB 3979 also prevent students from receiving class credit for participating in organizations that promote civic engagement and interest. Hey, A lot of school districts turned down our ability to form teen Republican clubs at schools while they had all kinds of leftist stuff back when I was leftist stuff when I was doing that stuff and helping teens form the clubs. Come on, we know how one-sided this is. Let's see, and bills would ban districts from receiving private funding for opportunities like social studies curriculum development, course materials, and teacher training as well. Why not? Who is sending it to them? let me tell you, if the Heritage Foundation or whatever were providing curriculum and donating it there, they would be objecting like hell. These teachers' unions like AFT and TST, they would all be objecting. Oh, it's right-wing propaganda. That's what they'd call it. But see, when they're getting it from the left, they love it. And listen to this sentence. That provision means individual schools won't be able to accept donations or materials for teaching the 1619 Project curriculum, a program developed by the New York Times. It centers on critical race theory. A debunked, historically inaccurate, leftist Marxist propaganda program that has been absolutely discredited all over the country is showing what it really is. And he said, oh, that would keep that from our schools. See how the writer lives in a liberal universe like that would be a bad thing? Anyway, Creighton defended his bill, said schools ought to emphasize traditional history, meaning accurate history, focusing on the ideas make our country great and the story of how our country has risen to meet those ideals. Come on, left. You always favored for over 100 years public education because it you wanted it, just as Marx talks about, an indoctrination method for the culture's values. And all of a sudden, oh boy, you know, you want to use it for your political indoctrination, but when other people want to say, well, we want to teach traditional American values, all of a sudden you're against that because you're anti-American. There was a good piece by Joshua Pierce, short and sweet at the scorecard, saying that the House passed HB 2497 from Tan Parker. Representative Parker called the 1836 Project. That's pretty good. I like that. It would establish a 9-person committee with 3 each being appointed by the governor, light governor, and House Speaker. The task could be to guarantee children are taught a beginning-to-end narrative of Texas history with an emphasis placed on Texas civics, particularly our founders and the founding documents. Committee would be tasked with advising state agencies on pursuing patriotic pro-Texas education at Texas parks, monuments, and battlefields, as well as advising the governor, who appoints 3 members, on how our founding principles enrich Texans' lives. By the way, it passed 124-19. You know, we're fighting back in our own way. We're fighting back in our own way, and that's what a lot of people don't like, including these big companies. Big piece in the Houston Chronicle by Zach Despart today, snubbed by Greater Houston Partnership. That's like a super political chamber of commerce in Houston. It's been around over 100 years, I think. It was founded in the 1800s, I think. Snubbed by Greater Houston Partnership, 175 business leaders raise alarm about Texas voting bills. That's right, and they sent a letter to Speaker Phelan yesterday saying they oppose several key provisions of voting bills. They say they're all, you know, oppressive. They say the letter takes Phelan up on the speaker's invitation last month for business leaders to flag provisions in the bills, including House Bill 6 and SB 7, that could add obstacles to voting. Well, so you look at what they pointed out. None of it adds any obstacles to voting. Listen to this. It raises alarm over provisions that would move polling sites away from Houston's urban core. You know what that is? That sounds bad, right? No. That's actually good for minorities. That part of the bill says that you have to have equal. Isn't that what we used to fight for in the civil rights? Equal voting facilities. In other words, a lot of voting machines, a lot of staff, be able to handle people uniformly across a county. Also, limit voting hours. Oh, no, no, no. The bills don't limit voting hours at all. Voting hours were already limited. It was Harris County that just decided on its own to do 24-hour voting. Ban drive-through voting. What do you mean ban it? It's never existed until just for a few days in Harris County. We're not banning anything that people had. In other words, there's no restrictions here. The restrictions on local governments from going outside of the existing law. Remove restrictions on poll watchers. Now, that's not true. It doesn't remove restrictions on poll watchers. It makes sure that poll watchers are allowed to do what they're already legally allowed to do and puts penalties in place for officials that try to throw them out so that people can't see how they're screwing up the election. Streamline voter roll purges. Streamline, that's bad, to take the dead people and people who moved off the voter rolls? It is if you're a leftist. And add a host of criminal penalties for poll workers and local election officials found in violation of the election code. So the businesses oppose having penalties for people who violate the law in elections? They still couldn't come up. Even though they did this big letter, and of course they get this big media coverage in Houston, they couldn't come up with a damn thing in these bills. Not one thing that actually restricts voting or makes it harder for people to vote. And then they phrase it in a way that's just an utter lie. And frankly, a lot of these business people don't even know that because they're ignorant themselves. Oh, well. By the way, the big showdown over nuclear waste expansion out at the site near Andrews has been pulled off the House floor. That's been delayed. And the bill fight on the elections bills I was just talking about set for tomorrow in the Texas House. That'll be interesting. Today, of course, it's the pro-life fetal heartbeat bill that they're going on about, and Democrats just doing everything they can to slow that up and try to get rid of that. Oh, boy, we'd sure hate to keep infants alive. It's utterly disgusting. Utterly disgusting, these people. We'll be back in a moment with more on Pratt on Texas.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Say one thing at home, vote another in Austin. With Brett on Texas, you'll know the real story. Now, back to Brett.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Well, some good news on the fetal heartbeat ban. The House did pass it 81-63. Now, it's just been advanced in the process, but they did indeed do so. The Democrats were not able to get the bill pulled down or, you know, taken off the calendar. And Landgraf out of Odessa's back got back up today to handle the nuclear waste issue. So that before the House today, I just mentioned that got put off, but apparently he got it reinserted and up talking about it this afternoon. The Texas House blocked a bill that would ban transgender girls. They're not transgender girls. They're boys living as girls, pretending to be girls, from playing on sports teams. Now, UIL already has rules on this, but we're trying to pass a law. And I told you the House Public Education Committee was going to look, it's chaired by Harold Dutton, a Democrat. Speaker put a Democrat in charge of it. It fell one vote short. He wasn't going to bring it up. He brought it up, but he knew what would happen. And one of the members who wasn't reliable anyway, Huberty, DWI Huberty, was out on the House floor doing another bill, so he wasn't there to vote. So it came one vote short in committee of being able to advance the bill. So there you go, SB 29. We'll see what happens on that. You got to have seven needed. And the chairman did not vote, but Dan Huberty wasn't there. So typical setup, how you do things. Isn't it funny how when the Democrats want to do that, that's just the way the process works. When a Republican chairman does it on something they don't like, it's press story after press story about how the process is so wrong and flawed. Anyway, my friends, there's so much more, but I want to tell you a little bit about Cinco de Mayo. It's celebrates, it's not anything to do with Mexican Independence Day. It celebrates the victory of the Mexican army over invading French forces on 5 May, 8, Cinco de Mayo, 5th of May, 1862 at the Battle of Puebla. I've been there. I put up a post today. I finally scanned my old-fashioned photographs of me there at the fort and the big monument to General Zaragoza. The 1857 Reform War broke out in Mexico. It was a civil war. When it was over, they didn't have any money. So President Benito Juarez, who had come out on top, suspended paying foreign debt. Britain, France, and Spain were mad. They worked a deal with Spain and Britain. They all sent troops over here. And, of course, all that was against the Monroe Doctrine that the U.S. had. And we were in our own civil war and couldn't do anything about it. The French went ahead and landed tons of troops and kept them there. They started marching. They captured Campeche. Then they started marching from the port of Veracruz up the famed passage, which you have to go near Puebla on, to take Mexico City, and they had a much bigger, much better force, but the Mexicans had Ignacio Zaragoza, a general who was born and reared in Texas, and he met them, and he took those troops and defeated the French. Now, the next year, they stayed down there. They kept all the things they had captured, and the French invaded, took Mexico City, and installed Maximilian as Emperor of Mexico. Terrible thing. They wouldn't have done it had Zaragoza not died of typhus during the year. He wasn't there the next time. He was a fantastic general and just absolutely made all the right decisions to defeat the French. Go look at the post I've got up today at proudontexas.com, and you can click through to really one of the best summaries of Cinco de Mayo. And it's a great thing to celebrate because it was all about the Monroe Doctrine. It was all about the New World not letting these monarchies come and reestablish themselves in the Americas. And this was in the spirit of Simón Bolívar, George Washington, whoever else you want to name. And that victory is worth celebrating. It was a national holiday back then in Mexico. I think only three states have it as a state holiday now. It's not a huge deal. It's become more of a deal because, as I said, about 20 years ago something, the beer companies found it as a way to really sell a lot of beer, and people have parties and excuse to get drunk in the U.S., and then the same things happened in Mexico. But it is, if you're interested in history and history of the Americas, a huge deal. And, of course, we're so proud because Ignacio Zaragoza was born and reared in Coahuila y Texas. He was born in what is now Texas and reared here, and we're proud of him. And it's very sad he died of typhoid because I think things might have been different the next time around. He was just a brilliant general using very unprepared and untrained troops, most of them conscripts, the indigenous Indians. But he was great. So it's a great place to visit. Puebla is one of the most beautiful cities you'll ever see. You'll hear a lot of German and other Northern European languages there as much as English, because that's where VW built its first plant in the Americas. Ericsson, a lot of those Northern European companies built there way back in the 50s and 60s. And it's just a great place. Unfortunately, very beautiful Zocalo, the central plaza and all of that. One of my favorite places in Mexico was, but now, oh my gosh, it's grown now. High rises everywhere and everything else, and takes away from it a little bit. But it is indeed a great place, and we love to celebrate Cinco de Mayo here at Proud on Texas. Now to the stench of local government pile. I don't know, people might like this, but it's just typical. The Houston City Council voted today to impose a $191 permit requirement and permit fee for charitable donation boxes in the city. Now, Houston's big. There's some that have 400, 500 of these. And so now it's going to be very expensive. Now, one of the problems is these people have been placing them without even having the property owner's permission. But then again, that's a civil problem that a property owner could take care of. And yeah, people pile up debris and stuff. And they say, well, this will make them clean it up. No, it won't. What it'll do is it's just another money grab. It's just like these liberals that care for the homeless. Remember, who in Texas passed all these local ordinances that said it was illegal for any of the charities and made it really hard? Houston was one of them, to feed homeless people. I mean, these people crazy. Some headlines. KVEO in the Rio Grande Valley reporting out of Donna that DEA and DPS agents arrested a Donna Police Department sergeant, Sergeant Alejandro Martinez, arrested on state and federal charges, and he has been terminated from the PD. That's all they could tell us. Also, $500,000 worth of methamphetamine was found at a home in Liberty County down in southeast Texas last night. Biggest meth bust in county history there. That's a lot of meth, 100 kilos of meth. And a Lamarck murder suspect is on trial, I guess, for accused of murdering his wife and all that, and then had an ankle monitor, got out of it, went to a car dealership, took a test drive, and then stole the car in a carjacking and all of that. This guy, Pascal, they're a big manhunt for this guy, 48-year-old Trent Von Pascal. And accused of ambushing his 30-year-old estranged wife inside a relative's residence last fall, fled to a Walmart parking lot where Harris County deputies shot him when he refused to drop his gun. He's been charged with all kinds of things. He's 6 foot, 220-pound white man with green eyes, a scar on his abdomen, and tattoos on his back, chest, and right forearm. U.S. Marshals have a big manhunt underway for him. And the Big Spring police made a big arrest. They had a murder that happened at the, found a guy unresponsive in a parking lot of a Shell station. and the person died of his injuries. And today, early in the morning, the PD in Big Spring arrested Marcus Anthony Melendez, 19 years old, and charged him with the murder of Antonio Iglesias. They've got him at the Howard County Jail. DPS added two folks to the most 10 most wanted list. One of them, last known address, was in Amarillo. Marcus Lee Torres, 39. He'd been wanted since January of last year, violated parole, and absconded from his last known address in Amarillo. He was convicted in 1998. It has to do with aggravated sexual assault for two young boys. So two more added to that. Some people that work for Rager Dykes have been sentenced and given their report to prison dates. A lot of stuff going on out there, my friends. The legislature's in full swing. We'll keep you up to date with what happens on the floor today on tomorrow's Texas Hour from Proud on Texas. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
At Thacker Jewelry, we celebrate mom. And when the time comes to give her thanks, she deserves the very best. A gift that reminds her every day just how thankful you are for everything she gave you.
This year, let's show mom how much we care with 20% off all in-stock birthstone jewelry and receive a heart-shaped pendant with any in-store purchase while supplies last.
And when you're ready, we hope you'll start your story with Thacker's.